Hello, I'm Wilhelm and this is episode 6 of the Node Noodles podcast and episode 2 of the North by Northeast podcast. This is released just one day after the last episode, so I still haven't figured out what I want to do with the English language podcast. Anyway, in the last episode we played Silver and White by Jackson Tegu. And as usual, after the game, we stayed at the table, I let the tape run, and we talked a bit about the game and discussed how we would like to change it in the future. If you're new to this podcast, I suggest you go back and listen to the previous episode first, and then continue to listen to this one. And here follows that discussion. Both you and our child are lost in traveling. I am abandoned somewhere, and you are never heard or seen from again, together with our child, which I can grieve then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds possible. Mm-hmm.
So, this was Silver and White by Jackson Tegu. Strange game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rails beginning. Like,
railroad beginning, yeah.
Yeah. And it sets the... I think if we would play it again, it would end up a similar story.
I think it was so complex that you would have to play it a few times before it really works.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's so narrow that you won't play it a lot of time.
No, yeah. It's much more narrow than Monsegur, for example, which you guys haven't played. Have you played Monsegur?
I don't think so.
No. I compare everything with Monsegur. But Daughters of Verona, this is much more narrow than the Daughters of Verona.
Yeah.
That is still focused, but this is even more focused.
Yeah.
And I see... yes. I don't see much replayability. I will play this a few more times.
Yeah, but you can.
But
can
with
do
different
it.
People, I will never play this again with you guys.
With the same people.
No.
Yeah, but I can cross a little bit different, have a little bit different characters, and it will be a slight variation of the same story.
Well, yeah.
But if you change people totally, it will get more different story.
Because whoever has the machine card can send it very different directions.
Yeah.
It could be.
It didn't have to be a teleporter.
Horror story.
Photos. I've read some actual play reports online, and this is the first I've seen that people are actually adding people in that city,
in that city of
Silver and White. It has only been, like, just take, abandon. So we added a whole society there, which I was amazed, not amazed, but I thought it was cool. I thought it was different enough from the games that I didn't play, but I read about, that I liked that. It made it something of our own.
Yeah, and things like that will change, but the base story will not really change, just the contents.
Oh, yeah, right. I somehow, at the back of my mind, there's a bit about the teacher being shot.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't say anything about that, and we went through the prep, and I'm thinking, was it just my imagination that...
I don't remember his being shot.
No. And it never took place in our story. But something in the back of my mind says, oh, the teacher was shot. The students find him shot.
It could be in the story.
It could be in the story, but we didn't miss it, I think. I wonder why. Maybe it was an actual play.
Well, I wasn't even sure the teacher was dead because, you know, he had the...
It was drunk at first.
Yeah.
It was left a bit open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just a play report I read where he was shot.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think the thinking cards wasn't a help.
The narrator was awesome.
Yeah,
yes, everyone should have the narrator card.
The who has control over things is good. The upper part with the questions I don't think is really helpful, especially the way it's written.
But I think it would be much easier to tell the story if you hadn't have to juggle with. Right now, I'm having this great idea, but I'm the photographer and I can only narrate about the photographs.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it didn't help.
Mm-hmm. Then you, I need to go and bump into that person to get that card.
And I never did that because I don't come up with great ideas that I don't have a card for. I just, the what card I have influences what ideas I come up with.
Okay, so it worked better for your play style than for Elin.
Yeah, I'm much better at being told what happens than coming up with it my own. I'm a reader, not a writer.
And that.
I want a narrator. I want to think out loud, like, "Why are you doing that?" Blah, blah, on everything sometimes. And it's only the narrators.
The part that I don't understand is the narrator card. I mean, why can't anybody say what they're thinking? That's a little weird. I don't see that the narrator card makes sense. I think anybody should be able to narrate themselves, and instead there should be a fourth actual subject card.
The city, perhaps,
the city itself, or something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
And in fact, I never did any narrating when I had the narrator card, because it didn't seem like a useful thing to do.
Yeah. Relationships, good.
Yes.
The relationships are very good.
Rest of the character, lame.
I like this middle section.
Crossing off which one it doesn't apply, I kind of like that.
I care about, I found that I didn't look much at that while I was playing. Maybe I should have. But the first things I liked, Anders did a playset for Panty Explosion, where you make schoolgirls, and to like speed up the generation of characters, it is already almost prepared, and you just check off a few boxes, and then you're done and ready to play.
Yeah.
And this was sort of the same idea.
It's not bad in itself, but it was bad for this game. It doesn't connect to the teams.
No,
it doesn't connect to the relationships.
I actually found this one helpful because, you know, I wouldn't have been so affectionate if I hadn't had a card that says I'm ready to start having sex. And, you know, you've got your sister and your classmate. Which one are you going to hit on? And I did like the I like water slides. I once broke my arm. One of them's got a gulf. I don't like water slides. I once broke my arm on one.
No, I liked
It's somewhat helpful.
Yeah.
Because I like games that are railroaded through the prep, where it's like clear instructions. Do this, 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 and then you can start playing.
Yeah.
But we lost some of that when doing all this reading and passing the papers. I see the point you gave, that there's a point to passing the book around because you get time to reflect upon what has been said before the next bit of information comes. But it was quite a lot of reading.
Yeah. Preparations.
And some of the reading really sounded like a teacher talking to a kindergarten class.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the short summary of everything is probably good enough to read through and then you just go.
Yeah, and maybe to explain the situation where you're fine.
But hours prep without anything interactive wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not impressed by this game. It could have been a good game, but I failed.
And we had a language barrier here.
Yeah.
Because it was written in English, and we three speak Swedish usually. And even when
I'd say at this point you two speak Swedish regularly. He's using English so much these days.
But it's still a barrier.
There's still a barrier. And even for you, we put up a barrier because I read so much in my Swedish voice.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you weren't irked by it, I think it's still somewhat of an obstacle. I think the game will play much better if we play it in Swedish, if I translate everything. Mm-hmm. And
if you translate everything, I'd really cut down the kindergarten, this is how we are feeling about the game stuff, personally, and jump straight to the important bits.
At least with this playgroup.
Yes. If I were going to play this at a con with people who are not story gamers, maybe I'd need that. But playing with the crew on next week, I won't need that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And it will distract from from the game.
But, you know, what we're about to do requires courage and trust, so thank you for coming this far. Do we really need that?
I think...
When we play, we'll give the current speaker our attention, refrain from thinking about what we'll say next. I mean...
I think... at times, this is needed. If we would go for horror and lots of emotional play, a group might have to communicate that. But would the best way of communicating that be to read?
Yeah. Although, even though it struck me as a little bit weird, it also made sense because we're teenagers and we're putting up with people telling us things in exactly that tone at school every day.
Yeah.
Now, in our class, we're all ladies and gentlemen and we all behave.
Well, so you see it as we are teenagers already in before the prep.
We're being treated like it.
To put into that state of mind that you are not trusted. This is the way the game should be played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely did help create the teenage mindset, especially for those of us where an awful lot of time has passed since teenage years ourselves.
Yeah. I liked the narrator card. I really liked it. Or rather, I liked what you could do with it.
Yeah.
But we have also almost the same thing in the Daughters of Verona, where we have the soliloquy mechanism. And I love it, playing the Daughters of Verona, because
I really like the soliloquy in the Daughters of Verona, especially if you've got someone who's reasonably eloquent.
Yeah. But even with someone who isn't, it's nice to be able to peek inside the mind of that character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monologue scenes adds a lot.
Yes. But it's great fun to watch someone who's really eloquent and can really express and be poetic about it. That's awesome to watch, but adds a whole new dimension to it. But even if they lack that ability, it still helps.
Yeah.
Four feelings. For me...
I think there should be more than that.
More feelings, and I don't think they pick the right feelings.
Yeah, well, the feelings are appropriate to adolescence, but there should be more, and the trading ought to be either with each other or with the deck, depending on whether it's rejected or accepted.
Okay, so there were maybe...
10 feelings.
10 feelings, something.
Yeah, and if you reject... If you accept the touch, you trade... You just trade. If you reject, you draw a new one from the...
Okay.
You draw a new random one from the pile, and you don't know what it's going to be until you get it.
All right, yeah. I like that. Would there be duplicates or just possibly similar feelings?
I think maybe just similar.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah. So you could wind up tracing desire for lust, for envy, for greed, for loneliness, for... depression, for angst, for manic, for...
Mm.
And you could go through a whole gamut of all the teenage... And I think there should be more of a balance, because we had almost all negative teenage emotions, but there's an awful lot of positive ones, too.
Yeah.
Teenagers are really intense, and they go from manic to depressed in the space of 30 seconds based on the interpretations of a half grin or... an imagined sneer. Yeah.
I think this game would have been better. The way to make this game a lot better would not be to add anything. It would be to take away stuff.
Okay.
Imagine there were no feeling cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you could pick your feeling. If the rule simply said you change mood.
Change mode every time you touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
I definitely prefer having it assigned.
Yeah, but...
And doing something with it.
Yeah, but I still think the overall problem with this game is that it's a one-shot game that can't be played many times while having a lot of rules. I think this game would have been better with a few less rules.
Even simpler.
Yeah, even simpler.
I think both your opinions are valid, because you speak from different preferences and different experiences. You are mm-hmm. you are very different players.
Yeah.
That's why you want more support or more varied mm-hmm. prepared support, and you want a freer game.
That's not my point here. I don't necessarily want a freer game, but this game had a lot of rules going in a lot of different directions. We constantly had to check our cards. We constantly had to check.
Yeah, we stopped to do that. What does this mean now again? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't say we would need less direction. It could still be in a very rules heavy game, but the number of rules for a one shot game should be more focused.
Yeah, because you don't have just two cards. You have eight cards that you have to keep track of, because mm-hmm. every time you cycle one back in, you have to read it again and to remember, oh, this card meant this.
Yeah,
yes.
We had one rule system for the overall story, and we had one rule system for relationships. And yeah, I think for a one-shot game, it was too many rule system, too many cards.
I didn't see it as a rule system for relationship. That was just a mechanic for character creation.
Perhaps we had one rule system for emotion and one rule system for overarching story.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we had two rule systems to keep in, just constantly double-check everything against...
Yeah.
Was too much for a one-shot game.
Yeah. These thinking cards, they do mostly what the Game Master does in
mm-hmm.
other games.
Yeah.
And these feeling cards is on the player level directions.
Yeah.
You get direction from two different directions at the same time.
And both...
I don't have any problem with that myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually kind of like the emphasis on the importance of touch, because
yes,
it's something
that was one of the awesome
really,
things.
That was
yeah.
really awesome.
Yeah.
But I kept on. I kept felt being trapped, because both what you could narrate and what you could play as a character was. There were put limitations on both levels.
Well, how were you limited as what you could play as a character?
You had the desire card.
But it's the underneath anything else they're feeling. It's not the only thing you're feeling.
Yeah, but it implies a direction.
And in a... It's adolescence. Who doesn't have desire in there?
Yeah, but...
It's confused desire with loneliness, usually, altogether.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's just which one happens to be your dominant underlying feeling.
Yeah.
And you can't feel the other ones. No. I interpreted it that, yeah, you can have a confused focus if it happens to be so, but you can still play all the other feelings if you
Yeah, and
feel
it specifically
it.
Says underneath anything else they're feeling. So it's very clear that this is not your only feeling.
Yeah, but I still felt very restricted.
Mm-hmm.
As the narration was very limited, and you had the directions on character level, on how character could react, how character was supposed to feel after interaction, that you once you touch someone, the action had to be classified as a acceptance. Or to me, I felt too limited. Also, one limitation would have been fine. A limitation on one level, but now it was one limitation on one level, and a different limitation on another level. Then it passes my when I begin to feel trapped and that I get too restricted for me to really
enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So. Suppose I say we play this game again in a month. What would we change in doing so? Even if we aren't certain that this change would improve it, but I want to test this change and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I would say The rules interaction should be focused on the touch and feeling level, and everyone can narrate the machine, the teacher, and the photographs.
Yeah,
that's how I would like to try it.
I
would put in more feelings and the option to get a random feeling from the deck if you don't trade.
Yeah.
Using these very components, I think I would like to put these thinking cards in the middle of the table so everyone can reach them and make them double-sided so all players can see them. So you can touch them so people know clearly, all right, now I'm introducing fact about the machine. I'm not just speculating. I'm introducing fact.
And
when
that's
you
a good
let,
idea.
When you let go, you're just speaking. Then everyone can take any card at any time,
mm-hmm.
but we still have the card, the instructions for or the
mm-hmm.
implications.
Well, I think make them all narrator cards. And you just narrate about the characters, you narrate about the teacher, narrate about the photographs, you narrate about
the
city of the silver and white, and mm-hmm. the narrator, of course. It's an awesome.
But instead, make them all four narrator cards.
Yes.
But this one becomes the characters and their interaction, and you can narrate how even the other characters are perceived from the outside, not just your own personal thoughts, but it's actually the book narrator speaking.
Yeah.
And the book narrator is the one that's speaking no matter which one you touch. It's just what the narrator is telling us
about. So we don't see the thoughts of the characters from the inside, like my monologues. We don't see that.
No, we can all still do monologues if we want. But make it... Or you could do... If you touch the characters card, you could either do your own personal thoughts, or you could observe
from an
author stance what the other characters are being perceived as.
Yeah. I'd buy that change, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the feelings. I felt it wasn't a huge problem, but it felt a bit boring that there could only be one character with the same emotion at the time.
Yeah.
Well, still, underneath everything else, so everyone could have desire or feeling lonely, but still, everything else is in small print, and lonely stands out in the card.
Yeah, and if you throw in a bunch more and multiple copies, so that if you get two teenagers both with desire dominant right now, and they happen to be in the bedroom. Yeah, you may have to pull a veil over the scene for a minute.
Yes. And the way the game was set up, I sort of felt that it was done to prevent us from bringing that veil into place. Since only one character can feel desire at the time.
Yeah. And while lonely and desire are a very good
match.
Yeah. But they would always switch which every time something happened.
Oh, well, you could... in this, the way we played now, we would still... You could say, I want to remain, we trade the other ones just to keep... I found that very often. I didn't so much trade for something I wanted. I traded for something I wanted to keep. Oh, I want this. You can have that one, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the desire fits so well with the character that... It was difficult for me to be willing to let it go once I got it.
Yeah.
And eventually a situation came up where it was the obvious thing to give up.
And desire was only... being lonely... you might look for company when you're alone, and being confused, you might look for answers. But desire was the only really driving feeling.
Yeah, it's excellent. It pushes the story forward. You don't push the story forward by being lonely.
Or confused.
Maybe frustrated, maybe you can do something, but desire is definitely driving. It pushes the story forward.
And then pushes for interaction between characters.
Yes. This
and angst and manic and so many other things could fulfill that same role if we had a full gamut.
This lonely card drives characters apart.
Scared,
yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if I should play it like written...
And
time.
I'm not sure how much the fortune thing really adds to the game at all. It just seemed kind of like an annoyance to have to work this into the epilogue, to me.
It could have been awesome. But I think the problem with this game is that the player, the one writing the game, play tested the game on the same group over and over.
Mm-hmm. Actually, he didn't. He has been playtesting all over the world in multiple editions. This is like whatever edition. And there will be another edition, he has promised. So it has been quite thoroughly playtested.
One thing I think might be interesting, if you're going to do the fortune cards, is have the fortune cards hidden so you don't know what the fortune is until the epilogue. They literally shuffle fortune and feelings, tuck them both into the same sleeve. You only see the feeling as you go through, and your fortune's not revealed till the end.
Yeah.
And then also that would give you an opportunity to stick more fortunes in as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But seeing the fortune gives the opportunity. This is quite thematic fortunes.
Yeah. But things like I'll betray one of my friends for incredible riches.
But,
you know.
I was
and, you
quite,
don't,
like,
and it only applies if you happen to have that card at the end and you have no idea. A casual touch will lose you your card.
Yeah. And I will find my place before it consumes me. I need to have something that consumes me to be able to play that card in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that I like the fortunes they happen to give. There are too few of them to choose from, and I would rather be surprised by it.
Yeah. Let's imagine a small rules change. You had to you had the chance to choose between
mm-hmm. which one would you like to see in the game?
Yeah.
In the end, which applies this time?
Yeah, for this one, I would have chosen the last one. I will die trying to do something great.
Mm-hmm. I like the other fortune. I would be comfortable and forgotten, but that one was crossed off by one of you guys because of the randomness of. Rather than crossing off fortunes, I think having a bunch of them, shuffling them, and matching them to multiple emotions might be.
The only reason why this one works, I'd be lost. Kind of easiest way is, my mother forgot my birthday anyway, so I'm lost. Yeah. But it's like it's constructed.
I played Archipelago 2, and it also has these. Fortunes. I don't know if it's called fortunes. Maybe it's destiny. But there, every character has a destiny, something. And it's also very loosely structured, a freeform narration thingy. And there's a goal for every character. You know, he will end in that situation. And we'll know that throughout play. So you can adjust your play to make a good ending. Because, I am heading this way. And you can play that way. Now, the game ended abruptly. And I suddenly found myself having this fortune, not so much as aiming to get it,
mm-hmm.
because I had no idea how long, much longer we would continue playing it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it didn't matter that I had the lonely card because, well, of course, lonely mattered, but having the connection between the feeling and the fortune didn't matter because.
I didn't know it was the end of the game until it was.
Until it was, yeah. It was a sudden surprise. Yeah. Maybe if you played with an egg timer, set it to something, tick, 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 and suddenly, right, my character is abandoned.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like reading a book on an e-reader. You don't realize you're about to the last page because you don't feel the book getting skinnier. And suddenly, wait a minute, what do you mean that's the last page?
You read this game before and you read played reports. What did you expect of the game?
I saw it as playing more smoothly. I felt it stuttered a bit. We were stuck. It took a great while before we even started the first scene. Once the game said go,
mm-hmm.
we were all right. What would we do?
The thing
now?
Said until the silence is broken, and we all sat there going, "All right, well, who's going to break the silence?"
Yeah,
yeah,
and. I had expected it to flow more smoothly. And everyone here's a story gamer, has played a lot of story games.
Yeah.
To varying degrees, but this is not the first story game for anyone.
No. Everyone have at least played 10 story games by now?
10 sessions at least. Maybe not 10 different games, but 10 sessions at least. So that was one. It wasn't a letdown as much, since I really wanted to try the game and see what it was like. But I thought it would flow smoother. And maybe it's because we had so much to read on the cards, and every time we traded, everyone should
stop
to reread. And
maybe the pause is longer as you're stopping to read and think about the meaning.
Yeah.
Because I only glanced at them for a split second, and it was right back in the game.
Yeah.
I think.
And in Swedish, you might not have noticed the pause anywhere near as much.
Absolutely.
Now, if I were trying to play in Swedish. Take a drop of lipa.
I think it would have been better if the narrator was pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Everyone grasp. But the machine, the photographs, and the teacher, if they just called it something different.
Mm-hmm.
If they called the teacher history.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been clear that you can decide what's happened before the story took place.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have
What does it say for the teacher? Can I see the teacher card again?
Yeah. And if the photography had been called the environment, and if the machine had been called the supernatural,
mm-hmm.
then I think things would have...
Well, the machine isn't necessarily supernatural, though.
No.
It could be only tech.
But if you had...
The strange and bizarre, then. Or the bizarre, perhaps. Yes.
Kanske we need some more cards.
Yeah, but I think if they... I classify the card differently.
Then it will be a different game.
Yeah, but
different story.
Yeah, but if they had the same basic story, but called the storyteller function something different, I think it would have flowed more smoothly.
Could you shine light on the same issues, but from a different angle? I think you could do that.
Yeah.
Now, I was really confused when we first got them, because, like, photographs, machines, city, teacher, what? What photographs? What teacher?
Yeah, because we don't know them from the game yet.
Yeah, and I haven't read through the book, so I didn't know that we had that we were going to be breaking and entering into our teacher's house. And of course, teenagers always just randomly walk into somebody's house and make themselves at home. Yeah,
it was a cool concept, but...
Yeah. And actually, in a small town, that may not be unreasonable.
I think this might have flowed good as a traditional game scenario.
Yeah.
Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah. The Call of Cthulhu. If someone had been storyteller and there had been four players, I think we could have known the same story.
Yeah, it would have been an excellent scenario for a random horror game.
Yeah.
You're playing teens, you're doing breaking and entry.
And you could have had the touch system even with the storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Will I will translate this before we're playing the next time, but I don't know if we'll play it as written or if I...
We'll edit it.
We'll edit it.
Yeah, just having the function cards on the table,
I
think, would improve it a lot.
Yeah.
And I definitely I want more feelings, more different feelings in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any psychology text talking about high schoolers and just window shot.
Yeah, I think a lot of other focus on different feelings. It will add a lot of flavor to the story.
Yeah.
I think.
But you can also let it.
It doesn't have to be about anything supernatural at all. It can just be four teenagers' interaction in a weird setting.
Yeah. I think when playing teenage scenarios, it can be easier to... none of these traits is linked to any kind of stereotype. You can't look at your car and say, "What? Well, he's a jock, he's a nerd." It's not.
I look cooler than my friends. I had such clear visual stereotype on that.
Yeah, but I could see this for him.
And especially the combination. I look cool with my friends. I'm ready to start having sex. You know, I'm the alpha male here.
Yeah.
Clearly.
But I am okay,
One of the things here, I once posed for a nude photographs.
Mm-hmm. That's, see your card?
That also makes a very distinguished...
Yeah,
thing.
But you didn't use that.
I didn't use
it. No, but you could have, yeah.
I could have used that.
Maybe the game would have taken a different direction then.
Yeah. Maybe. But I thought,
But that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I still like those nine checkouts on because you get some control over the character, but you don't... And you don't get stuck thinking of good ones. I've seen that happen as well, mm-hmm. playing story games.
Yeah, I like it. This I have nothing against, actually. Just, yeah, because I get a picture in my head. Oh, okay, yeah, but... Okay, that's type, and then we cross those because it matches with
this type.
This
one doesn't seem to have one of an equal thing. I mean, I once posed for a new photo. I once went down on someone. I'm ready to start having sex, but I'm not seeing an equivalent one here unless you read "I love my little brother" the wrong way.
I think it would have been fun with.
But this one doesn't have an equivalent.
Something going in that direction, no?
Yeah. And the others only have one each, you know.
I think I would have liked to have some outside trait or some trait about how you're viewed.
Specific, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the fat kid in class.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be as a, but in mm-hmm. high school setting, being the fat kid in class is a role. It's a social status.
Although these days they're all fat kids, so yeah.
It would nice to have...
I'm the nerd in class. Or
I'm popular, or...
Funny guy.
And I didn't miss it because I had the all the cooler than my friends, so I just assumed you all had something like that, but...
Yeah.
I cut my own hair. That's a statement.
But something... Mm-hmm. High schools were much about status. It would have been cool if...
Yeah.
Some of the things would be about things.
And my card is the only one that got one of those. I don't see an equivalent. I look cooler than all of my friends on here.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that says how I'm viewed outside. And I don't read that as just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because teenagers get that opinion because of reinforcement from others.
Yeah. Looking at the traits, I didn't get you had ones that indicated your status in group,
mm-hmm.
but if you read the other ones, you don't know who's the top dog, who's the bottom dog.
I think if you're going to do it, it would definitely be worth having a list of traits and each time generating character sheets that have different patterns, so it's not always the same set on each card. In fact, you could use the word's ability to grab something from spreadsheet, put it here, and before doing it each time, just randomly sort the spreadsheet.
Or as you get the new set of sheets for every session.
For every session. Because if you've gone to the effort of having it in the computer, you can have the program just go randomly draw from the traits, as long as you use the rules so that each one will have only one status.
Yeah.
Only one sexual overtone.
Yeah.
You know, pick categories of things that might fit so that you don't get five sexual overtones and three statuses on one card.
Mm.
You know? Because you shouldn't.
How much would that affect replayability? Because it's such a narrow focus on in the setting and the premise of the game.
Yeah.
So would you like to play it 5 times or 10 times?
Because I'd be more willing to play it again if there was more variety in who the characters were.
Yeah.
There's some variety because, you know, next time someone might decide that they don't like driving, you know, this one doesn't like driving and doesn't like playing the guitar this time. You know, that'll make some subtle differences, but...
Independent of replayability,
mm-hmm.
a teenage game, it would be much easier to start a game and to play the game if you did get the grasp on who's this character in the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and having a status box.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you could reject the status. I could have said I don't look cooler than all my friends.
Because we are friends. There is a pecking order in the group when the game starts. But we don't know it as players, so we can't exploit it and use it use it to drive the story.
Yeah.
An explicit pecking order would have made the game
easier too.
Easier, yes.
Yeah, and I think that could also add to the
fact. And we had a fairly clear pecking order because we're siblings, and Mom likes you best.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but forgets my birthday. So yeah, but it's still a pecking order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This game had a problem with the flow. I think status would improve the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And having the stuff that everybody can narrate different things and stuff might add to the flow when it gets staggered. What we're gonna do?
Yes, I have this Osmo D, but she's hugging that card, so
a while into the game, then we begun swapping.
Yes, I want that here. I don't know if you noticed, but we were playing, and suddenly, I'm going to Awesome Land. Have your card so I can narrate, and that was unnecessary, I think.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you have one dominant, very dominant player and three little mice, maybe it's a way to let the other players say something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then it's...
It's not going to get fun anyway.
No, it won't going to get any fun anyway. And then it's a problem with the group, not with the game.
Yeah. And for that kind of situation, you could add one more step of, every X amount of time... each person has to narrate one of those cards.
Yeah.
Kind of. And that time of day isn't over until we've heard one machine, one photograph, and each person has to pick one. And it doesn't. You can pick the same one every time if you happen to be.
Montague works that same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar also. You use that
in Dots of Rome. Yeah, it works.
It works very well. Because then you have a sense of time flowing, and you also you're running out of time faster.
Yeah, it gives everyone the opportunity to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't force people, but it gives everyone the opportunity to.
Well, if everyone has to do something, it gets the people who are uncomfortable can go first because then they have a choice.
Yeah.
Ah, I at least have an idea about the photographs today.
Is four players the optimal number of players in this game?
A large group can be really problematic.
But we don't have any NPCs at all in this game.
Yeah.
Not unless you count the dead guy or the aliens that apparently nobody else has ever had.
Yeah,
but it made more fun driving.
A teenage group could be anywhere from 3 to 6, I think.
Yeah.
And still be quite manageable.
I think I would have liked one more player, because now it got couples.
Yeah.
Although if there's five, there can't be all happy couples. There will always be some friction.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you're looking for the classic boy-girl.
Yeah. Unless you settle into a nice triad or...
Yeah. But that's interesting in itself. But if we have five players, that we will force some sort of... Three would have been a bit too few.
I think four was a bit too few.
Yes, it might have been.
At least this time.
Three would definitely have been too few. I wouldn't have minded having a fifth player at the table.
Yeah,
five up to six. I don't think I'd want to see more than six trying to play this game.
And if you're six people, you need to be six diplomatic good listeners.
Good listeners, yes. Six people were good listeners. Yeah.
Which is where the turn-based, everyone has to pick a thing. But then if there are six, you would need more narration cards.
Yeah, but that I don't think that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could think of something.
Yeah. Because you could throw in the house.
Yeah.
Or even the school as something we talk about.
Flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly we have a totally different game.
Yes.
We've translated your game.
Hi, Jackson, I translated your game. It's much better now.
Sending the new game.
Here, learn Swedish so we can play.
When I saw the characters, and I thought we would be a lot of traits was school related.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there would be school scenes.
Yeah.
But it would have been a distraction from the
main
theme. Yeah, from the main theme. I think it would have been nice. It would have given a longer game. I don't know how long we...
Well, it can't be that long because it's only 8 o'clock now. We've been discussing for a while, or 8 something now. But I just looked at the clock and, you know, learn Swedish so you can play. Well, we could give me a quick Swedish lesson by playing an apples to apples session to just do something different.
Yes, we could do that. All right. I'll stop the podcast recording then.
Yeah.
I don't think our listeners will want to hear us play board games.
In Swedish.
In Swedish. thank you and good night, everyone.
And then we played Apples to Apples. I still don't know what to do about Silver and White. I might change it. I might give it one more go, just the way it's written. We'll see about that. But this was all I had for this episode, so goodbye for now.